HarperCollins and Harper Audio present The Postmistress of Paris, a novel by Meg Waite Clayton, performed by Imani Jade Powers and Graham Halstead. For Anna Tyler Waite, who wasn't born an heiress, but built her own kind of fortune in her own way. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul. Emily Dickinson. I have traveled through many countries and learned to hide my thoughts in many languages. Hans Sahl. Part 1. January 1938. Once back in Paris, I learned that most Americans were scurrying home. I decided to stay on. I had lived in France for 8 years and felt a part of her. I had learned to love her people, her history, her landscapes, and her old stones. If the French could take it, so could I. Besides, too many extraordinary things were in the making, and I didn't want to miss out. Mary Jane Gold, Crossroads, Marseille, 1940. We should have left France after Max was arrested the first time, but we couldn't imagine a world other than Paris. Leonora Carrington, Villa Arbel by Rosemary Sullivan. Monday, January 17, 1938. In the sky over Paris. The sky out the glass roof of her Vega gull was as crimson as the airplane. Beyond the windshield and the gray whirl of propeller, 10,000 tons of iron stood laced against the setting sun. Nanay called over the roar of the Gypsy 6 engine, "La dame de fer à son meilleur niveau." That's the kind of art I love. To Dagobert, her sole passenger, who wagged his unkempt poodle tail as they circled the Eiffel Tower. The Iron Lady at her best. She flew on up the looping Seine, headed back to Paris for the Exposition Internationale du Surréalisme. 300 artworks depicting gigantic insects, bizarre floating heads, and dismembered or defiled bodies she knew were meant to be thought-provoking, but always left her feeling unsophisticated and far too American. Midwestern. Not even from Chicago, but from Evanston. She loosened the white silk scarf at her neck, as she initiated a controlled descent from 1,000 feet to 800, 600, 5, to buzz her empty apartment on Avenue Foch. She loved Paris, if only its winter nights weren't so long, when you were 28 and living alone. She throttled back to idle and extended the flaps over the Bois de Boulogne, descending to 200 feet as she approached the park's lake, its small cascade and charming little emperor's kiosk. Up here in the air, there was no grumbling about Prime Minister Chauton excluding socialists from the French government, no brother killing brother in Barcelona, no Hitler claiming to be eager for peace while all of Europe trembled. She dipped a wing for a better view, to see the trickle of water over rocks into frozen lake and, oh Lord! A span of black wings stretched to white-feathered tips at 10 o'clock. A red bill opened in a call of warning, inaudible over the engine, as she slammed the throttle wide open and yanked back the yoke, snapping to the right and climbing to avoid crashing into the black swan already diving to avoid her. But the nose of the plane was rising too quickly. Vertical speed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?